Greetings, my name is JJ Hoffman. On today's episode, we are talking about the rural Georgia healthcare problem. To get us started off, I'm bringing my friend over here for an interview. Well, here he is. So, Oswin, what comes to mind when you hear about this issue?
When I hear that, it really just makes me sad to think that so many people aren't getting the sort of medical help that they need. This is happening the most in rural areas because there aren't many hospitals there and people don't have rides to get there.
Thank you, Oswin. To put this in perspective, 54 counties out of Georgia's 159 have no hospitals. Of course, there are places like Mercer's University School of Medicine who are actively working on this problem. We went to Mercer not too long ago to find out more about this issue, and that's when we discovered telemedicine. Telemedicine is basically where a doctor and a nurse can communicate over an online program. The doctor is guiding the nurse because the doctor can actually see on the video and the website the patient and what's going wrong with them. So I have another question. What is the hardest thing about the nurse for you? And what kind of services does the nurse office provide? Well, I know where to go to get this answer. To the nurse's place, down in Peachtree City. Well, I'm gonna play some audio clips and of asking the patients the question, along with some other questions that my fellow heroes have asked.
Do you have any problems transportation-wise getting healthcare?
Sometimes I do. I came here because I've been here almost 3 years. Can't afford insurance for nothing. These people here have been wonderful, and they've helped me since day one. Like she was telling you out there about the medications, they do help with medicines. They help me a lot. So, but yeah.
And
they,
even with help, it's still very expensive.
Yes,
it is. We're very fortunate that it used to be a few years ago that all prescription drugs were very expensive, and even Medicare people did not have prescription drug coverage. And I guess Walmart started the $4 list probably
a couple years,
10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And once they started the $4 list, the other pharmacies have come along. And so we've been able to reduce the cost of prescriptions. We also have some medication here that we're able to give people. But still, when you have difficulty controlling your blood pressure and it takes four medicines instead of one or two, four times cheap is still expensive.
And I think I'm on what, four?
You are on.
I'm on four different
at least
medications
four.
For my blood pressure.
It may actually be up to five. I'd have to count. She's about maxed out.
Yeah, so.
So. It does get expensive even when things are less expensive than they used to be.
Anybody else?
So what's the hardest thing about the nurse for you?
Nothing really. I mean, I'm so used to sitting down in front of them and talking to them. I mean, if like your doctor's appointments, you have to talk to the nurse first. She has to do your vitals and go from there. I mean, it's not hard.
In what ways has this clinic been able to help you?
Oh, they've helped me in a lot of ways. She's actually gotten a lot of my problems down. Other than my diabetes that I'm dealing with right now, it's starting to come down. Rather than that, they've helped me a lot.
What changes would you like to see in the current medical systems?
Nothing really. I mean, I don't really go to too many facilities. So, anyone else?
What kind of services do that, does this nurse station, provide?
I'm not getting it for that one.
What we provide, is commonly referred to as primary care. And so primary care is focused on things like high blood pressure, diabetes, headaches, gastric problems and distress, there are a lot of specialists in our medical world today, so if somebody has had a heart attack, they probably would need a cardiologist. If somebody, Kristen actually ended up having an emergency appendectomy back about a year ago and ended up in the emergency room with emergency surgery. So surgeons, we don't have a surgeon. people who have cancer or other serious diagnoses usually need specialists. And we do have orthopedic surgeons who volunteer with us, and we really appreciate their help. And we now have a dermatologist who is volunteering with us. But other than that, we primarily offer primary care.
If this clinic weren't here, or if you're in an area that didn't have a clinic like this, what would you do for help?
I would go to the ER, most definitely. That's where I started going before I started here, 3 years ago. Well, almost 3 years ago. But yeah, I would definitely, if I was not around a clinic like this anywhere, and if I was like in the middle of nowhere, go to the ER. That's what I advise.
And a lot of counties in the state of Georgia don't have free clinics available. We're fortunate that there are at least two in Fayette County, because Fayette Care Clinic is also here. And then Samaritan's Clinic is in Coweta County. But we have a patient who moved to Griffin, and she contacted me this weekend, and there are no free health services available in Griffin, Spalding County.
Okay. How did you hear about this clinic?
Well, I had people that I knew, or I knew people that was coming here, and they referred me to the clinic here, but they no longer go here. Like I said, I've told people about this place myself. It's wonderful people, doctors, nurses, and they help you a lot. So, yeah, that's how I know.
And we get referrals from people who are in the hospital. After they come out of the hospital, they ask them to follow up with us. We also have quite a number of referrals now from a women's home, from women who are trying to get their lives together, and also sometimes women, particularly women, who've been incarcerated and their parole officers are sending them here.
Do you ever get, like, do you ever need medicine that can't be given from this clinic?
Yes. There's some that I get for free at Publix that they don't have. And there's some that I have to pay for out of pocket that I try to use a discount card on.
We also have a lot of the pharmaceutical companies for people who are uninsured and have low income. They will give what's called patient assist, and they will provide sometimes expensive medications for no cost for patients who qualify.
Change one thing about, like, healthcare in Georgia, what would it be?
For, you know, the poor to get some kind of healthcare. Like, what would I say? Just some kind of healthcare. I mean, that's all I can say about that.
How do you think you would be, like, different if this clinic wasn't here?
I probably wouldn't be here today, because I was going downhill fast from my health. And I've come from here to here. So that's actually awesome.
That's awesome.
Thank you for your time, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast made by JJ Hoffman.
So, I actually kind of, like, want to know, like, I want to know stuff, like, about Vigner Ranch, because I'm thinking about, like, going to a programming place,
uh-huh.
And maybe here, because my dad works here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was wondering if I can ask you some questions
yeah.
about it.
You betcha. And now keep in mind, I am myself, I'm not a developer. So what I do here is a little bit different, but maybe you have questions around that. So I'll let you ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah, so if other students from my school or any other school were wanted to shadow someone here, would you be open to that, or would you? What's the most effective way to know what it's like here at Bender Ranch?
Well, I think it depends on the grade of the student, and also what their interests are. I do think that shadowing is an option. For a developer, if you want to become a programmer or something, it might be tough to shadow someone like your dad, because his style of work is so high in expertise, he's way up here. And if you're just learning and don't know much about programming, it can be quite confusing if you don't understand everything he's doing. And so I don't know if a traditional shadowing program would, do a lot of good, but there are certainly opportunities like this where you can talk and learn from different people through the day that I know would be quite helpful.
If you were looking for a new engineer or developer, which would you value more, experience or more formal education? Why?
In my opinion, I would value experience. And here at Nerd Ranch, our philosophy on someone who's a really good developer is someone who is a really good thinker, a really good problem solver, has a lot of persistence, really good work habits, they can communicate really well. And oftentimes, those people learn those things in other jobs, not necessarily in university. So, we have people in our development team that come from all over. They don't necessarily go to college. They might or they might have different careers and want to move into software development, and they do. And so it's, I value experience and also, their skills and abilities, even more so than experience. We have some developers, by the way, who they're very young, they don't have much experience, but they are really very, very talented, and they try very, very hard. And those folks do very well here. So it's not necessarily about what degree you have or where you worked, it's about who you are and how hard you try.
What advice would you give a younger, more inexperienced person of your job to be able to be ready for the more difficult parts of your job?
Mm-hmm. I think right now, if you work on how to ask questions, really practice that over and over and over again. That is, in my opinion, the best skill that you could learn. And to be honest, I'll share a secret with you. That skill will transfer to any job you take. Not just being a good programmer, but any career you choose to take. If you have the ability to ask very good questions, then you're going to do very well.
So, how'd you hear a Bender Ranch, or how'd you come here?
Well, they needed someone who matched my experience level, and they had a job posting out there, that I saw, and I applied to it, and I interviewed, and that's how I started.
What parts of your job do you enjoy, and what parts would you change?
I really enjoy learning from people like your dad. Your dad is really smart, and he is very good at communicating, and he is also really interested in doing what's right. by the client or by the employees or whoever. And so I enjoy working in an environment where those type of people are around a lot. What things would I improve? Honestly, I would improve, well, there's nothing that I really feel strongly about that needs to be fixed. So this is something that I think is important. Like, with any company or any job you're in, there's always going to be things that aren't great all the time, that nothing's perfect, right? And so, but if you look at those things as opportunities to improve, then it becomes fun instead of like something like so it's a learning learning environments ultimately. So do I have a list of a lot of stuff that I would improve? Yeah, but do I look at them as interesting problems to solve? Yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Like, how much experience does someone need to work at a company like Bigman Ranch, and how would you recommend someone to get that experience?
Mm-hmm. Well, what was the first part of your question?
How much experience does like someone need to work at a company like Bigman Ranch?
Well, to be a developer here, you probably need to be playing around with computers for 2 or 3 years. Now, how you choose to play around with computers, because you know there's so many ways you can do that, right? There's hardware, and there's software, and there's different platforms, and there's frameworks, and there's gaming. I mean, there's so many ways you can do that, right?
Yeah.
Now, the people that tend to be hired as junior developers here are those that are very focused on a given specialty, like a given platform or type of language, and then also who show their work somehow. Like if you were to build your own app, then on your own time, like you would show that work and just show progress and how quickly you've learned and built it and figured out how to do it. So that is, and university will help too. It'll help give you the fundamentals of computer science, and that always helps. But ultimately, like taking that knowledge and also playing around on your own and building your own stuff, tinkering around, experimenting, and showing off that work, that's what usually gets junior devs hired here.
How do you prepare for the variety of companies and clients that you work for when they're all so different?
Yeah. Well, that question I think is geared toward a developer who is working technically with a client.
Yeah.
If I were to think about that question with my job, because I work with all different types of people, that's my job really. And how do I prepare in working with all these different people? Well, I think about really the core of what I'm trying to get to, and that is I'm trying to find people who are interested in working here and also who would be a good fit in working here. And I have to remind myself and think about what that means here at Nerd Ranch. And then everyone I meet, I put through that filter and make sure that that person is a match to those things.
In your opinion, what makes Bigner Ranch from different places that you've worked at?
It's very creative. You are safe to make a mistake. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
You can't really learn without making mistakes, right? When was the last mistake you made?
Yeah, I made multiple mistakes in, like, working with, like, my math.
Yeah. And when you made that mistake, was it kind of fun to go figure out where you missed that mistake?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next time you did it, you tried that problem. Was it easier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when you came here, what were you looking for? And, like, what did you expect?
Well, I expected there to be a lot of things to fix. And there were. But what I didn't expect was for this group to be who they are. I mean, they kind of have changed my perception about what my job is and how I should do it. I didn't expect that, and that was a refreshing thing.
Yeah.
What
is your favorite part of your job, and what's the hardest part of your job?
My favorite part is talking to people. My least favorite part is letting somebody know when they did not get the job that they really want.
Yeah.
Rejecting.
Could you briefly summarize what you do for this job, for this company?
Mm-hmm. I help find people who want to work here.
That's all. So, what do you look for in people when you hire them?
That's a good question. Is that a question on your list?
No.
Good.
Because
I like that.
That's all my questions.
Oh. That's good. I like that question. What do I look for? Well, this might sound kind of silly, but I look for people who are very curious and... What tells me if they're curious is it goes back to questions. I learn more about somebody based on the questions they ask than the answers they give me.
So you can tell that I came up with the question because it was different from all the other ones, or?
Yeah, well, and it also was a question that was built off of something I said. So that tells me you're listening. Now, if... And listening is really important. Honestly, listening is more important than any skill or technical ability somebody has. Why do you think that is?
Because if you don't listen, you don't know if you're wrong. And so you keep on doing the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you figure out, like, a lot later on that you were wrong. And now you have to start all over again instead of actually listening to someone. When they first told you you were wrong,
mm-hmm.
You could have built off that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, what's another thing that I look for when hiring somebody? I look for someone who is really interested in doing a good job. So, if someone really cares about their work and really loves it, then... that tends to be someone that I want to work with. Believe it or not.
So when you're hiring someone, is it about what who you want to work with, or do you have to go with someone like higher than you and ask them, is this a good person to hire?
Good question. Yep. It is a mix. The decision is always based on the hiring. So the person who is making the ultimate decision on the hire, right? Here at Nerd Ranch, it's important for there never to be just one person making that decision.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, you might always get just the same type of person. And it's important for us to get different types of people because different opinions are really important.
Yeah.
And so here... My opinion and Gabe's opinion and two other people's opinions coming together to make that decision is pretty important.
Because the more ideas you have, the most likely, more likely it is to have a better idea.
Yeah. And additionally, I'm listening for other things. Gabe is listening for other things. His peer, you know, someone else on the team is listening for other things. And so usually if someone is able to, that everybody likes for different reasons, it tends to be a pretty good hire for Nerd Ranch. So it's a mix. Like if it's someone who I talk to who I'm just like, ooh, no, I don't, there are things that may not make a good fit for Nerd Ranch, and from my opinion, then that's something that is considered. It's not necessarily going to weigh the hiring decision one way or the other, but it's something that the hiring manager does consider. And to be honest, they may make the decision, even if it's someone that wouldn't be my first choice. It's still ultimately the decision of the hiring manager to decide who would be best.
Are you frustrated sometimes when you want someone hired, but they don't hire them?
Yeah. But that's okay. I respect the decision because I think the people who are making the decisions, they have the best intentions.
They know all about the company, that's and right. You mm-hmm. may not.
That's right. I may only see one piece of it. They may understand a lot because I don't know development, right? Like, I don't know the specific skills and technical ability that someone might need to do the job really well. I don't know that. So I respect the person's decision ultimately, and I will support it.
Would you like change anything to make it so you would be in a higher state? Do you like where you are right now, or would you like to be higher up and make those decisions?
I do not want to make the decisions. I enjoy helping other people, assisting them to get the decision. And you know what I think about that too? This is probably a different perspective than one might hear, but, a lot of people, they want success. They think success is a ladder that you climb in an organization, you grow with your titles, or you grow with responsibility, or you grow with decision making, and that is indicative of the value that you bring to the organization, is where you are on this ladder. See, I think learning and success and growth is quite different. I think it goes this way. Is it possible for someone to stay in one position and still have an amazing impact to the organization this way? And I do believe it's true. Here, it can happen. A lot of larger organizations, there is a ladder that you climb to get to success. And here at Nerd Ranch, you can continue to grow and excel and improve in your job. Your title doesn't change, your responsibility doesn't change, but your impact to the company does. And so, I like that. I look at it, it makes you think about success differently.
So, what do you think, I'm still thinking about questions.
Well, do you want to, be a developer that works on software, or do you want to be an engineer that works on different aspects of computers?
I think I might want to be an engineer.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really too, not that, what was it? I'm not really into coding. I'm really into, sort of coding, but for, mechanical purposes.
So, what have you played around or built anything or taken anything apart?
No, not yet, because, if I take something apart, my parents are probably going to get mad at me. But Right now I'm trying to learn how to code. Mm-hmm. But at some like science fairs at my old school, I would go over to the mechanical robot section. Like, I forget what it's called, but it's like, it's something with Legos, the mechanical Lego stuff. And I would program around with it, like with the different blocks, different functions,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. And I think that's a lot more fun for me
mm-hmm.
than just making like pictures or apps.
Yeah. So, does your school do science fairs?
No. It's a very small school, so
mm-hmm.
you know, we might do it in the future, but I don't know. This is the first year of the school,
mm-hmm.
so we might, but we might not.
Mm-hmm. So that'd be fun if it, to think of some what you would do if there were to be some kind of science fair or project that you would have to do, right?
Yeah. Because this year, we're focusing on biology.
Nice.
And that's not really, I don't like biology too much, so it's kind of hard for me to learn something that I don't find fun. But if I do find something fun, then that I feel like that's a lot more meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Biology, though, that impacts everything, don't you think?
Yeah, you definitely can.
Do you think that the idea of something being fun is, you know, a perspective?
Yeah, I think it's definitely perspective. If everything's been put on you and you're just, like, making your team, like, your team's not doing anything, I mean, that's not going to be fun. And so you might not enjoy it, even though you might have if your team did work.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely does be in the perspective.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to a butterfly house before?
No.
No? Have you ever been to, Fernbank?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that fun?
Yeah. Some parts of it were.
Yeah. Well, everything in there is biology. Everything.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form. So even the fun parts in there is a form of biology.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I think.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's interesting. I mean, there are so many different parts of biology. What parts are you learning right now?
Right now we're doing the medical part. So it's like a diagnosing thing. Like, so for our exhibition, like we do that in the session. And that's based around the whole session's worth.
Mm.
We have 7 sessions in 1 year.
Mm.
So we're just gonna, like, people are gonna come to us for like diagnosing. They're gonna give some symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're just to diagnose it.
Guess what the main part about diagnosing is?
Guessing and getting wrong.
And?
Yeah.
Asking the right questions. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
That's what makes a really good physician. Do they ask the right questions? Are they listening to the symptoms? Are they asking the right questions?
Hmm. Yeah. So, what would you say, like, how would someone get a job here?
They would ask the right questions. What else would get them the job here? They would have to have an interest in what we do, and that they'd have to try really hard. Those are the main things.
So it's not exactly a high standard, but it's not a low standard.
Well, it's funny, because there is a very high standard here. There really is. I think that it kind of depends on what kind of opening that we have. For example, if we are looking for a senior developer,
then our standards for their technical knowledge and abilities is very, 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 very high.
Yeah.
And if I track that back, though, to how that person got there and what it is they did to get there, those are the things I'm talking about, like the asking questions and trying really hard and caring about what they do. That's sort of the things that got that person there. It took many years, many, many years. And if we're looking for an intern or someone who has no experience, then those are the things we look for. And believe it or not, those things are very high standards. Like those, we need someone who's going to come in here and work very, very hard. That's a very high standard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we recognize that everyone has to start somewhere when it's an intern level or someone who's just learning, right? And so we don't have high standards of their technical knowledge at that point, but we have very high standards on
their working.
On their work style, yeah. And very high expectations on how they learn, how they communicate, how they treat people, and the results that they need to show. So, yeah. And those expectations, because our clients have very high expectations for us.
Yeah, because they want the best.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they want us to, like, yeah, they want you guys to fix it properly and that's not right. Just, like, little, like, temporary fix.
That's right. They really want quality.
Yeah.
Yep. And how does a developer figure out what that means for the client? Guess.
By the way they talk or come in? Questions. As soon as you put your hand out here, I was like, oh, questions.
What questions do they ask? I mean, a client's coming to us with what they think is a problem. They don't really know. When we start asking the right questions is when we gain visibility into really the right problems.
Yeah.
And you can tell a difference between an experienced developer, what questions they ask, and someone who is junior developer and what questions they ask. And so the more you practice, the better you get at asking questions so that you can get to the right answers. And that's why if you get really good and practice asking questions right now, so many people put emphasis into how you answer a question. No. Mm-mm. How you ask the question.
Yeah, because if you, there's like, isn't there like two different ways of asking a question? There's one that's open-ended, and there's one that's just closed. It's just a yes or no,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yep. And you might use either one of those depending upon
what you're asking.
What it is you're trying to learn and who you're talking to. And you ever have you ever noticed, too, like, how a question is asked is really important?
Yeah. Because if you're just doing, like, a monotone like this, they're going to know that you don't really care too mm-hmm. much about your job.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not, I mean, you might not be happy with it. But if you ask it, like you're actually, like, wondering what it is, then I feel like they're going to be more open to answering it.
Yeah, that's right. So tell me what the difference is here. What were you thinking here versus... Can you describe to me your thought processes and how you got here?
The first one, it sounded like you were being, like, a little rude of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were blaming them for it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other one, you were asking how this happened and how could we fix it?
Yeah.
Like, go trace your steps.
Mm-hmm. I really am seeking to understand here. Like, I want to understand where that person is coming from. And over here, there is no sense of that.
Yeah.
And so, those little subtle differences, like, I'm trying to get the same answer, but the difference in how I ask the question is going to help with the relationship with that individual and ultimately get to where I want to go more quickly.
Because the first one, like people take that as like offensively, and so they try not to give you too much information. Mm-hmm. And but if you do it like in a kind tone, they're gonna listen more to you because they know that you're not gonna try like you that you're safe and kind.
That's right. Yep. Mm-hmm. And even a question that digs in deeper, like what you did earlier, where when you ran out of questions and then you dug in a little bit deeper to something that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. That's important too. That's really important in interviewing.
Yeah.
Because it shows that, that someone's listening, like we talked about, and that they are critically thinking about what else they want to know from you about it. And that's good. So in an interview, you know what happens?
What?
A lot of times, people go and read and educate themselves on, you know, what they should do in an interview. Right?
Yeah.
And there are all these sample questions out there on like, here's what to ask in an interview.
But most of the time, the other people know what it might be. And so they are prepared for those questions. But you really want to ask them questions that are probably not like the most common. So they can't like prepare for it. And so they, like off the top, they have to answer that question.
Yeah, I want to see what their genuine thinking is, not what they've rehearsed. Or what they've practiced, right? And even if they don't answer it perfectly, you know, a conversation will begin where you and I will banter questions back and forth, and I get to know the person a lot better that way, and they learn a lot more about the company that way too. So it's a win-win situation, yeah. The conversation is important. But, yeah. Even though having focused questions is good too to get things started, like with what you did, like thoughtful questions. Are those the same questions you're going to ask from everyone you're meeting with today?
Actually, like those are base questions, and then I add on what, like, their job is,
mm-hmm.
like, to twist it around to their side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of these are developer questions, and so I didn't ask some of those.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them I altered to fit the HR or human resources.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So is science your favorite subject in school?
Math is.
What kind of math? Geometry?
Right now I'm doing algebra.
Oh, algebra.
I'm doing algebra 1.
Find the X, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, for our school,
mm-hmm.
sixth grade does 3 different algebra things. There's pre-algebra, algebra basics, and algebra 1. And in 7th and 8th grade, they just have to do pre-algebra and algebra 1. And I'm doing 6th grade, so I have to do pre-algebra, algebra basics, and algebra 1.
Mm. Do you like word problems? Do you know what word problems are?
I do, mm-hmm. but sort of. I don't like word problems that much.
No? I like them. They're pretty challenging.
Yeah. I do like them because they're challenging, but sometimes they're confusing, and sometimes I misinterpret them, and I get the question wrong.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I like it, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you get better at the things that trip you up, then I bet you'll begin to like them.
Yeah.
You got my time?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
We're down here.
Okay.
Great, thanks. I'll tell you why he's that. Josiah, my oldest son, is more medicine than
How dare he?
I know. And so as part of his school, he does apprenticeships and things.
Okay.
And so he's like, I want to know what is like a big nerd ranch. He's like, I can do that. So we can try to traumatize him with horror stories from programming. I think that would be a wonderful introduction to what it's like to being a programmer.
Like, no, speak for yourself.
Well, no, I was going to say, you can do it all for me, John.
If it was that horrible, we wouldn't be here after all this time.
That's right. Or be happy people.
Even GE can't drive me away from my code away, so, you know.
Wow.
See?
Yeah. No, I can't really hear anybody else, but I can hear you.
Oh, can we hook this?
Oh, yeah, can we call into it then?
We have this multi-directional mic.
What's the call-in information?
Oh, we could straight call it.
It's on the calendar event call-in number. We can hear that.
Yeah. Okay. Good idea.
So we can call the thing, and then do our audio, or video, or audio through that. Here.
Just mute me.
Yeah, but call in first. I don't know which.
You got it?
No. No. Okay, I do that.
Enter your participant ID followed by pound. Otherwise, just press.
So part of being in an office is learning to work the phone conferencing systems.
You are in the meeting now. There are two participants in the meeting.
How's this, Michael?
Oh gosh.
That's much better. Make that echoing. So there you go.
Okay, how about now?
Yay!
Okay, cool, we did it.
We're
hearing and believing.
Technology?
Mute that. Because we can hear him on your laptop.
Yeah, but we need the microphone and your speakers.
Yeah, I'm muted. I'm double muted.
Okay. All right.
So, for a bunch of brilliant programmers, this is like still a thing.
Phones are high.
I don't want to be on the screen.
Yeah.
And just disconnect.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
No one else is on video. Okay,
yeah,
cool. We're here.
Video, so no need.
Any project updates? We'll get to traumatizing my son later. I'm aiming for 11:45 to be done. Because I got to run with Steph to a lunch thing.
Yeah.
So.
No update from GE. It's just the same drama that it's always been. Using every opportunity that I can to enable GE to come out in front of Rightpoint and demonstrate how they operate. Both good and bad, and all that means. But as far as we know, like, we just finished our first actual sprint, and now the Rightpoint guys, who are the new vendor taking over, we're leading the project. This one, you see all the pretty light bulbs and everything, all the funny, cool light bulbs and stuff around, right? See the big ring right here in this guy's desk, and the lamp stuff. So we're doing a project with C by GE, which is all these smart home light bulbs and stuff.
He actually had a soul in his room.
We did.
Because I was on GE early. And it just stopped working at some point.
Not surprised. So it's this project, and we are leaving the project for various reasons, which if Dad wants to fill you in later, he can.
Not a good fit.
That's a good way to put it. So there's new company taking over for us, and we are currently working in a 6-week transition period to help them learn and how to get on board, how to do everything. And we finished the first sprint, first 2 weeks of it all, and that went okay. iOS worked decent. Android was much rougher at getting off the ground with their people, but we are now entering the second sprint, which is kind of a transitionary sprint where they're actually taking on real stories and real work, not just like light onboarding bug type stories, but doing some real stuff and getting to just see the unique approach to their definition of, the firmware is tested. Is that a dog? Michael?
That's a baby.
That's a baby, okay.
That's a human.
We just hear this like, eh, eh, eh. I was like, was that a dog? Or was that a baby? Okay. Well,
Michael also decided he didn't have enough on his hands and bought a puppy.
See? So, and then anyway, so we're starting that, and then the cool part is that we're in discussions, are ramping up towards actually starting to hand the reins over to them. So at the end of this 2 weeks, we're going to hand the reins of, like, all the access to GitHub and all the things are going to be there. So that's what Andrew and myself and Nicole are really working on orchestrating. And so it's like,
that's exciting.
And then, yeah, but we're still expecting GE to come back and find some way to be horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see, but one day at a time.
Sometimes when there's somebody else, when there's an audience, like maybe they don't want to be horrible in front of the new people.
Oh, but they are.
They're still doing
that. They're being them. Wait, I'm not saying they're being horrible, but their behavior is their behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
And so allowing them to, I'm just letting them be themselves.
Right, right.
And letting Rightpoint see them being themselves. Not in an ideal, oh, we're trying to quote you kind of manner. No, this is how they daily operate.
Yeah.
Just let them see. And I know that the Rightpoint people have seen it because they then DM'd me and said things like, well, that's an interesting conversation you're having over there.
Oh, boy.
And I said, mm-hmm.
Get used to it.
So, you know, basically what it's called, what it comes down to is treat people well. And basically be honest about stuff. Don't be a jerk. It'll take you pretty far in life, you know? And I just don't think that she has learned that. And unfortunately, this is the problems that it causes. So there is our life lesson for today.
And software is different from hardware.
Yeah.
So that's one of the interesting things about a product company like GE. Makes light bulbs and things that go on shelves, right?
And once it goes out the door, that's it. Like, you can't necessarily take it back and fix it, necessarily.
Because it's going to be sitting on a shelf at Lowe's or Home Depot or wherever you buy
Lowe's
things.
Lowe's and Walmart.
Yeah, Lowe's and Walmart, right? But that's different than software, because in software, you're always able to update it and change it and make it better. And it's hard for them as a company to understand the difference between those two things. And so that's part of the problem. Anything fun for you in the next month? You got something that's got to get out the door in the next couple weeks?
Yeah, we have to. It's not.
So first, what is the kind of project that you're working on?
That's right.
Idea.
So I'm working, John's project he was talking about, they're working on these light bulb things for, like, making this app for a company. And I and a bunch of other people inside B&R work inside Apple to help their people build an app that they're already working on. So it's a very different kind of thing where like, it's in our control, and it's sort of like an us versus them. Like, they want this thing, and we can do that. But I'm instead just there to help. And so, like, they're all running around with their heads cut off, and I'm just the expert saying, well, here's how we get this done within the next few weeks. And they can go do all the hard yelling at each other stuff that John's talking about, and I'm just there to help. I'm working on like an event planning app, like kind of like in a wedding, you need to put people in seats or that kind of thing. And they're all trying to figure out crazy stuff with that, and they just ask me what they need to get done that day, and I do that.
So he's sort of a subject matter expert on the project,
yeah.
Where people can consult with him, like, this is really hard, how do I do it? Which is how we all use Zach anyway.
That's fair. Yeah, that's
fair. He's kind of used to it.
Pretty used to it.
Dub's coming up is the only other big media event that I can think of.
Yes.
What else is on the Apple calendar? I'm sure it's always lots of things.
Oh, yeah. They have some crazy sort of carnival that they're planning. like for their employees. Really? I don't know, some kind of field day or something. And they're making me build a map for that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a Ferris wheel?
There's an icon of a Ferris wheel. Okay. I don't know if that means Ferris wheel or just general fun.
Fun.
Yeah.
are you gonna be out there? Like merriment. Carnival games and stuff, and I mean, you don't know like what's on the map.
I've heard floated, literally hot air balloon rides.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
Now I don't know if that's real or if they've like faked things out for me to implement. But
right.
Are you gonna be there that week?
No, sadly.
Can't you fix that?
I have to come in and fix a critical bug. It'll only be fixed on site.
I'm sorry.
No, sadly, yeah, that's one of the drawbacks of us being there to help is that their people are the ones who get to do all the cool things like go stand at events and you know, help with checking people in and say hi to Oprah and that kind of thing.
But you need to be a more rounded developer on this project. You need to have the totality of the experience and depth of understanding from of what the true user experience is like. You need the field test.
You're not wrong, but I don't. I it's a string that I haven't decided to pull yet.
And Zach and I were talking yesterday about my app. So that on the Chick-fil-A app.
I know.
Is there dogs?
Yeah.
We have
dogs in the office. Yeah. You can bring your dog in and be
do dog things with them.
Bring your dog in.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
What do you think, Kyle? Miss
you wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, until somebody like walked too close to my desk. Hey, back off. So the pitching an idea for turning the Wallboards app into an Apple TV simple client.
Mm.
So you can do all the configuration from your phone, so we still have to like make the app do things.
Right. But then have the playback be an Apple TV app.
Uh-huh. And all you gotta do is
talk to each other.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, well, but then you have to log in. And I don't think the two-factor auth sort of thing is gonna work on screen.
Yeah,
because there's no web client.
I mean, you can figure out anything, you know, just like programming, you can do whatever you want, but you can't show a website.
So part of the reason they went to Okta was because Okta, it pops open a screen, they take care of all the login, and they just give you back the token.
Right, they had a rich area.
So it's not going to work
with
their system. Right. And Zach and I were talking. And Zach said, what if you just get the token from the phone? Like you just do a little pin thing and, you know, connect to the phone experience, share your token over, and you're good for 90 days or whatever. And I think that would work.
As long as you can make it really, really easy so that, you know, just random operators can understand.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you.
And then you could totally distribute that on the store and it might really work. So I was pretty excited about it. I want to demo that out.
Okay.
See how that would go. So I think they would be really excited about that. Michael, you're rolling on to Moment, right?
Yeah.
That's been sounding interesting, seeing all the stuff you're posting on the iOS and Mac channel. Yeah, so how is this going?
So far, like, basically last week we had our client internal kickoff thing. And so Thursday we had a meeting and they were on site. There were two guys. So one was a product manager. He built the entire app, you know, the iOS app by himself. He's been the only one with questions. The other guy is a more of a R&D kind of guy. He came from like a science background, but he knows experimentation and R&D. So, but he had to leave back the first day. Second day, we were supposed to have all of our like audit talks. Like, you know, here's what we think is going to be good. Here's what we think we can work on. Yeah, here's what we fix. Here's what, you know, blah, blah, blah. And there was a depth in the product owner's family. So he couldn't have a meeting on Friday. So that was the point in time for the staff to call it a executive team. Well, that's one last thing. It's still all in. currently, we've got like a short list of things that we can work on, but I'm kind of struggling even working on those things because some of it is like, hey, when we have all this data, you know, this happens to the app. Well, I can't generate any data because you can't, the way they do the tracking for your phone, so Moment is an app that tracks your usage on your phone. The way they do that is when you unlock the phone, you start the timer. When you lock the phone, you start stop the timer. And it kind of allows a bit of accuracy with like location services. So like if every time you move your phone, it gets unlocked. It's like, okay, cool, you're probably using it. So I can't test what other, like I can't generate data on the simulator because the simulator doesn't fire off the delegate methods that say, hey, your phone's unlocked. Like for the encrypted data, like authorized data is available, which is what they're using. I can't put it on my device because I don't have provisioning program.
Yeah,
so,
that's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah. Well, hey, wait. So, so here's a question.
Yep.
Are you going to eventually get provisioning from them? Is this a temporary thing, or are you like just totally stuck?
Yeah. So the guy that has the Dev and the Family product owner, Kevin, he
okay.
has all of the access to Apple Dev Portal. The Apple Dev Portal, but only has the developer, which does the provisioning.
Okay. So this is just a temporary.
Yeah.
So it's just a temporary problem.
Just till next week.
Okay, because I was thinking like adopting what we did with the GE project with the Git Smudge Clean and like using our own like ADC enterprise thing to help you get going. But if it's just temporary, I mean, if it's just temporary, you could even like hack that for a week, but you don't have to do like the Smudge Clean thing.
Yeah, you can just set it to your own.
Yeah.
You can authorize yourself.
Michael, you there? We lose you. I think we lost him. I think the Tronning got so bad now.
He went through a tunnel.
Oh, wait, there you are. Are you there? Nope. Is he on, like, is he driving?
That's my guess.
So I'm going to slap him and say we lost you.
No, he's not outside.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's for the week.
Wait.
Well, basically what I've done, yeah, services. Hello. Oh, maybe. Now he can't hear me. Oh, no.
Is this like buffered or something?
Yeah. It's doing something strange. Something's weird.
No.
Wow, this is crazy.
What's it doing?
Wait, so are you there? Michael, latency test.
Oh, wow, no.
Clapping here.
Oh.
This is Kyle.
Yeah, definitely buffered all that. And then put it to
and then, like, something paused, so it's like, this is weird. This is pretty wild.
See, then they didn't, like, chipmunk it. Just
speed up. Yeah, just press it down.
Michael, if you can hear us, bye.
We're sorry, Michael. We don't know what happened to you. Sorry. yeah, just type him. But I guess it sounded like that this is just temporary because of the dude. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, here. Are you saying goodbye to him, or are you telling him the thing?
I'm saying goodbye to him.
Okay. Let me send the idea thing.
Yeah, Chris Downey will be back on that project next week and be able to figure stuff out. But it's still, I mean, it's Thursday, so we still got 2 days of work left.
How's this project started?
So, our school?
Yeah.
We're supposed to find a mentor. Mm-hmm. Like, we call it apprenticeships, but it's more like a shadowing sort of thing.
Okay. How long does it last?
We're supposed to find a total of 40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Then I believe it goes 40 hours, 80 hours. And then at an actual acting, it would go 40, 80, 120.
Oh, wow.
But I believe at our school, it goes 40, 80, 20.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So, have you been wandering around talking to a whole bunch of different people here today?
Only two others.
Okay. Cool. All right, tell me, I'm sorry. I know you have questions.
It's okay. So, you are the CEO and co-founder of Big Nerd Ranch?
I am.
Okay. So, when you built this place,
yeah,
what were you looking for? Like, what were you trying to build?
So this is not going to be a technology answer for you, but
I
really thought that the world should be, I just think always that the world should be a better place. And I really wanted to build a company where people were really excited about coming to work every day. And where I really had this deep belief that you could treat your vendors well, and you could treat your clients well, and you could treat your employees well, and you could still make money. And so I wanted to test that out and see if I could figure out what that company would look like and whether it was true. You know, it was all like,
yeah,
maybe it was just a dream and it was silly and like you have to treat somebody poorly somewhere along the line in order to succeed.
Yeah. I think you do eventually, but I don't think it's supposed to be poorly.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to let someone like down.
I don't think that's true. I mean, I think that sometimes you have to let people go.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes you have to be like, you know what, this isn't right for you, or you're not right for us. Like, we didn't find a match. But I think that what I learned out of all this is that you don't actually have to fail on one side in order to succeed on the other. I kind of think we proved our case. I think our people really like working here. And I think our clients really like working with us. And I think we're really nice to our vendors. So, overall, it's going pretty well.
Yeah.
Perfect.
From what I've seen, there's a lot of great relationships.
Yeah.
And everyone gets the work done.
Yeah.
But it's, like, so casual and so nice to each other.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's really important to us.
Yeah. Can you briefly summarize what you do for this company?
Sure. So, I oversee, this is actually kind of a rare setup for a chief operating officer. I don't manage any of the functional operations. Like, I don't manage any of the plant, or like, I don't manage the office building, I don't manage the office management or IT or anything like that. What I do is I oversee all of the delivery services. So that's engineering, that's training, that's consulting, that's design, and that's project strategy. So all of the
if other students want to shadow here, would you be open to that, or what would be the most effective way to learn like what it's like at Big Nerd Ranch?
I don't know that you would shadow me. I mean, I'd be open to it. I've definitely done a lot of mentoring. I think if you wanted to know what it was like at Big Nerd Ranch, you would probably shadow an engineer, not me.
As in other people here.
Yeah.
If you were looking for a new engineer or developer, which would you value more, experience or more formal education, and why?
Neither. I don't think either is more valuable. I think both are really valuable. Formal education gets you theory, and experience gets you practice, and it's the intersection of those two things that are important. We definitely have a lot of people who come here with nothing but theory, and they're great, but they can't do it by themselves. They have to be always paired with someone who has the experience.
Yeah, because the experience, you know how to do it, but if you go formal education, you know some parts that you might not know if you just had experience.
Yeah, I think it's that. It's also, like, the experience piece tells you what's not possible, and theory doesn't, right?
Yeah.
So experience says, like, technically, theoretically, you could do it this way, but if you do, here are all the bad things that are going to happen as a result, so you should take this shortcut over here. So experience gives you this like shorthand language that you can speak that you don't get from a formal education. But a formal education gives you this deep understanding of architecture and how systems work. And yeah, when either of those pieces are missing, you're not there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What advice would you give a younger, more experienced, like someone in your place, or just around an experienced developer, let's say, to be able to be ready for something more difficult part of your job?
Ooh, of my job. You're saying, like, if I wanted to take an engineer in my organization, I wanted to train them to be the COO?
Yeah.
What would I do? I would make them read all of the books that they could on systems thinking, and then I would start having them work through exercises that had to do, like, real-world examples of systems thinking inside our organization.
Like, to be able to, like, what advice would you offer to be able to be ready for something like the most difficult part of your job? What would you, like, tell them?
That's what I would tell them. I would tell them to do that. I wouldn't... There isn't any substitute for actually doing it. Like, I can't tell you what it's like to do this job. I can give you the tools and let you go try it and mess it up. That's what I would do. I would set up safe experimentation for that person to be able to go out and try it out.
So who are the other co-founders?
So there's only one. The other co-founder is Aaron Hilligus. He's no longer a part of daily operations here, but he's still an owner in the company.
How long have you, like, worked at Bigner Ranch, and, like, when was it founded?
So we founded the company in 2001. I've only been here this time for a year. This is my third time back at Bigner Ranch. I keep leaving and going and doing startup for a couple of years at a time, and then I come back. I really like startups. So I guess, like, all told, I've worked here... See, the first time around, I think it was 8 years, and then I came out for 3, 11. So this would be 12 years total, but only a year in this most recent stint.
What makes Bigner Ranch different from other places you worked at?
We tried to build a company that we wanted to work inside. So instead of saying, oh, we're going to build a company and then we're going to get really rich, what we said was, how would we build a company that, like, we wanted to be employed by? And what would that look like? And so I think a lot of what you see around here, a lot of the camaraderie, a lot of the collaboration that you see is a direct reflection of us trying to build something that we wanted to be a part of. Our people are really different. We made a safe space for weird people to work, right? Like, you can be weird and work here, and it's totally okay. And I think Aaron and I are both weird, and we really thought that there was, I don't know, like, weird people can be really brilliant, and just because they're not, like, socially adept, it doesn't mean that they aren't capable of producing something powerful.
Yeah.
And so we really tried to create a place where those people felt like they were important and valued.
And wanted.
Yeah.
Because, I mean... Weird people doesn't mean they're not smart. It just means they're not, like, the popular kids.
Right.
I think that there's been, like, a lot of weird people are funny in their own way.
Oh, for sure.
Other weird people get it. And so, I mean, it's really funny.
Yeah. So, yeah. I love how quirky and individual and unusual our people are here. I love that I could walk over there and I could ask some random weird question. I could say something like, who's into Dungeons and Dragons? Or, hey, do you guys know anything about Dragon Con? Like, what would I want to do if I wanted to go to Dragon Con? Like, what would be the most important things for me to do? Or I could say, hey, has anybody ever done a road trip on Route 66? And inevitably, there would be someone in this organization who had done that, maybe more than one person.
Yeah.
That's neat. It's a really diverse group of people.
And, like, they don't judge you for anything that you like. You're allowed to be who you are.
Yeah, we really believe in that, for sure.
How much experience or, like, for someone to work at this company,
mm-hmm.
what do you want the most? Like, how much experience do they need, like, at a company? Let me rephrase this. How much experience does someone need to work at a company like Bigner Ranch? And how would you recommend someone getting that experience?
They don't need any experience to work here. We'll teach them and we'll give them that experience. You know what you need to work here? You need to be really smart and you need to be really curious and you need to be willing to work out a problem that you don't know the answer to. That's what we really look for. We look for people who are capable of... we look for people who believe that they can do it. That's what we really look for is if you believe that you can solve a problem, you probably can. It may take you a really long time. And that's what we look for, that kind of grit and determination and intelligence.
How do you prepare for the variety of companies and clients that you work for or work with when they're all very different?
So, well, we do a lot of initial information gathering on those clients, right? Like, we really ask them a lot of questions. But overall, the way that we prepare for it is we think of our clients as being these people who have problems that we can solve. And so our job in that situation is to be good problem solvers. And if you want to solve a problem, you have to know what the problem is. And so we become really good at asking questions to try and understand what problem they need us to solve. And then we take these big brains that we hired all over this organization and we throw them at that problem.
What's your favorite part of the job? What's the hardest part of the job?
My favorite part of the job is thinking about the future. Like, a lot of my job is to say, here's where the industry is going, here's what's happening in the world. How is Big Nerd Ranch going to accommodate that? What are we gonna do next? I love that. Like, that's definitely my favorite space to think through. And I love the going out and talking to all the people who might have an opinion about that, not necessarily in this building, but outside in the world, who could be future clients, or someone who just may have a perspective on that I don't have access to. And so I love doing that information gathering and then sort of pattern matching my way through it and saying, like, okay, I think we might want to try this, and then doing those experiments and figuring that out. And then I have to figure out how to get that information into our company, and I have to figure out how to operationalize it. Like, those things are all really fun. Thinking about the future is really fun. The hardest part, there's so many hard parts of this job. You know what's, I think, is weird about building a company? If you build a company from the ground up, one of the things that you learn really early on is that you have to keep moving. You have to keep going and growing and turning into something different and reinventing yourself every day.
Because if you don't, I mean, you're gonna fall behind.
Yeah, you just die. And so you learn that really early on, and so it becomes sort of oxygen to you at some point. Like, you just start thinking, I have to do this, I have to do this. Like, this is just a part of the thing. But when you build a company like this one, you know, the people who work here, they love this place. And so when you build a company like this one and people join it at different stages, what they want is the company to stay the same, right? They're like, I joined. This is what I signed up for. I love this company the way it is. Please don't change it. And I think having those conversations is really hard. And it always makes me feel a little bit sad, and it makes me feel like I understand where they're coming from, and I know that it's going to be okay. But it's sad. Like, you're asking someone to let go of a dream, and that's a really hard conversation to have.
So when I first came here, yeah, I saw, like, the scooters, mm-hmm, and the dogs. I was like, this is normal for a regular workplace? I was like, I was really confused, but then once I saw the community, I felt like that was just right.
Yeah. What do you like about this place?
I like
the scooters and the dogs.
I like that even though people get distracted by, like, dogs, scooters, and the food,
yeah,
drinks, they still get their work done, and yeah, they still have time to, like, chat.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that engagement is a really big part of who we are. It's also really fun to talk to super smart people about big ideas.
And I also like that you can work from home whenever you want.
Yeah.
And there's still, you can get work done, you contact people still here.
Mm-hmm. What do you think you want to do? Why are we having this conversation? Why are we talking about this? You think you want to be an engineer?
I'm thinking about it.
Okay. What do you like about it?
I like the building things and testing out.
Yeah.
I like that there's programming in it, but I don't really want to go programming all the way.
Yeah.
I want some programming and then some building.
Yeah. Have you taken any design courses?
Not yet. Right now, I'm trying to learn how to code.
Yeah. You should learn how to design, too. That's where all this is going. Design and engineering are going to be completely intertwined.
Yeah.
It's going to be a powerhouse. It's going to be really fun.
I don't know any design, like, apps or things.
Yeah, so, Maybe you should talk to your dad about, we're getting ready to do a design for developers course. And I think we're going to do like an intro, like probably like an hour long online intro. We can get you into that. You can go see if you like it. It's so there's a big architecture point component of design that leads into some of what you're talking about. Like if you want to code and you want to build and you want to think about the whole system, design is a huge part of that. It helps you think about it differently. It's fun.
So, like, I had one of those at one point, but I forget how to activate it. Do you just say, hey, soul, or something?
I don't have the voice component turned on, because it creeps me out, but I can.
Oh, do you just hit, do your hand through it?
No. It's not motion. Or at least this one isn't, I don't think. I have it now. But yes, it is voice activated. I just have that turned off. What do you want it to do?
I was just wondering.
It doesn't do very much, honestly.
So the blue one, oh yeah, I remember that now. So the blue one is the hour, right?
Yes.
And the red is the minute.
Yep. Hmm. It's really confusing when you turn it around the other way, and then you forget that you did that, and you can't figure out what time it is.
Yeah. I think that was actually a pretty good, like, invention, because, like, tells the time without it asking, hey, what time is it?
So, I don't know what that one does. Oh, look at that.
Means it's muted.
That means the clock display is off.
Oh.
And then, I don't know, timer display, I don't know what that is. I can change the color.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. It's interesting, I don't know, I don't think I'm not the right target audience for this. It seems like men are way more interested in this than I am. And it, I don't know. I don't think I have that particular technology affinity. But it is, it's fascinating how many people notice that thing sitting there in my office. I was noticing you looking at it before, and I was thinking, I know exactly what you're looking at right now. So, like, wait, did you used to have one and you don't anymore?
I used to, like, when my dad was in that.
In the project?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one, even it just stopped working.
Oh. Well.
And then, eventually, he left.
Okay.
And so, yeah. But I always thought it was a really cool thing, because
mm-hmm.
it's, like, sort of better than Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to ask it doing voice commands all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's interesting.
It's amazing what people think of and build it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Have you ever been to when we do the presentations for our clash, like our hackathon?
I don't think I have.
That'd be fun. You should ask your dad.
I've only been here once before.
Yeah, okay. You should ask your dad to bring you to that and ask your dad if you can participate on his team. I bet you he would let you do that. It's pretty fun. You get to build some crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah. I've been here one other time.
Uh-huh.
It was the, I think, I'm not sure where it was, but they were building stuff. And then he built a Minecraft thing.
Oh, that might have been Clash. Probably not this past year, but maybe the year before.
Yeah. I think it was Clash, yeah.
I bet you that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fun.
We have the little thing in my garage.
If you were gonna build something tomorrow and like you didn't have any limitations on what you were gonna build, what do you think it would be?
I don't really know. I really don't have anything in particular to like. I want that much.
What irritates you?
About what?
I don't know. On a daily basis, like, what happens in your life that you're just like, man, I wish I didn't have to deal with that?
My sisters.
Okay. What do they do?
They whine and hit people a lot, so.
Really? They hit you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you need to build a solution to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. To your irritating sisters. That's what technology, those are the most powerful technology advancements, is when somebody gets irritated about something and they build a solution to the problem.
Yeah. There's what? I think that most of my problems are with people, not with, like, technology sort of thing.
Why do you think that is?
Because I don't have really good people skills, and then so I misinterpret a lot of things.
Seems like you're doing okay. Well, how does that happen? What do you mean?
Like, in games?
Yeah.
Like, real life games, but...
You mean, like, outdoor games, like dodgeball or something like that?
Or anything else. Like,
yeah.
I feel targeted when people get me out constantly.
Really?
And so...
Why do you think you feel that way?
I don't know. I think that I feel that way because... In the past, maybe they've been mean to me once,
mm-hmm.
and so I automatically assume that they're trying to be mean to me again.
That's interesting.
And then also...
Are you good at forgetting things? Obviously not.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, okay.
Sometimes I'll forget what people just say.
Really? Okay.
But then I can remember long time ago stuff.
What do you think you're really good at?
I think I'm really good at, like, leading... Or holding people accountable.
Okay.
Because I'm not really afraid of losing friends because I'm holding them accountable, sort of thing.
Okay.
And I feel like I can handle myself if they get mad at me.
Really? That's cool. What do you do when people get mad at you? You just stay calm?
Yeah.
That's a great skill. That's a rare skill. Most people don't.
I mean, sometimes I don't stay calm. Like, when it's my dad doing it.
Yeah.
I someone my age.
I could see that.
Yeah. If it's, like, someone my age, I mean, I can handle it.
What's your favorite part of your day right now?
Lunch.
Why?
Oh, every day?
Yeah.
Or just today?
Every day.
I think my quest time.
What's that?
So at my school we have different blocks.
Of time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can pull you up.
Yeah, can I see?
Like today's thing. Like every day they send out an email to everyone at school.
Mm-hmm. And it's like telling you what is on your agenda for the day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's not really a difference in each day,
mm-hmm.
except for the little things. Like,
did you lose your internet? Oh, no, there you are.
Thursday schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're in launch. Launch is like where we talk about a certain subject.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Brother Josiah,
mm-hmm.
he sends out a survey. Or
that's not your brother.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is. Okay, okay.
Yeah. And goal setting is where we set our goals for the day.
Okay.
On the journey tracker. So, our goal... So, civilization, we have that every Tuesday and Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where we go over...
Oh, fun!
Like, our guide assigns us stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have discussion time about that.
Mm-hmm.
And discussion questions. Like, the leader asks the questions.
Yeah.
And then there's quest time.
Yeah, what's quest time?
It's where we have a certain thing. And this year, we have a quest... I mean, it's, like, overall quest subjects are... is biology. And right now we're in the medical thing. And so
mm-hmm.
for our exhibition, it's where we do at the end of the session.
Is it like a science fair?
Sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And we, people come in, for this one anyways, people come in with a diagnosis, like, sort of like, a symptom sheet, and
okay.
we have, and each team has to diagnose what disease they have.
And you're allowed to search the internet while you're doing it?
No.
No, you have to do it in your brain?
Yeah.
Oh.
But then you can order tests and stuff.
That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah. And then, other previous quests... it's been, our first one was Museum Quest.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it was. Okay, it was, where we sort of, like, set up our school sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then our second quest was a market quest. So a market in where we, like, our school is, we have it in Pinewood Forest, and mm-hmm. Pinewood Forest is a new starting, what's it called? Neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And hoping to be a city.
Is Pinewood Forest the one that is, where they have, like, a lot of film people? Is that, no, it's not the same thing.
Okay. Sorry. Pinewood Forest is right across from Pinewood Studios.
Okay, then it is that. That's the community for the studio, right?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And someone in the market, like, some people were starting to market, sort of thing, and every, I think, twice a year, mm-hmm. well, no, I don't really know the specifics, but they have a shop sort of thing every, like, it's during the summer, and we try to help them with mm-hmm. that, and we had a different biology quest where each person had a different type. So first our subjects, here, we did cells for mm-hmm. the first week,
mm-hmm.
and then we did plants, mm-hmm. animals, humans. City Fayetteville.
So you guys still do, like, eukaryotes and prokaryotes and, like, meiosis and mitosis? Do you guys talk about that for cells? No.
I don't think we did.
Okay.
That was that, and then we had the healthcare, mm-hmm. rural healthcare quest, and last, friendship quest. Mm-hmm. So I don't have my 40 hours in,
mm-hmm.
and so this is counting towards my 40 hours.
Cool. Okay.
So I'm still doing that.
That sounds fun.
And then we have...
That sounds way more fun than working.
And then there's also an apprenticeship badge.
Okay.
We're doing.
And is that based on the hours that you put in?
Yes.
Like, in that area?
It actually can be in multiple different areas.
Yeah.
Because I worked in 6 hours, 6 hours at Chick-fil-A.
Uh-huh.
Mentoring, chatting with someone else.
That's fun.
And then we have duplicate badges where, I'll just put it right
what
here.
What does that mean?
A duplicate is where, it's a book that is, Craftsman Approval. So it's supposed to be a world-changing or life-changing book.
That's fun.
And so if you find one,
mm-hmm.
you have to write a compelling pitch and have it approved.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're done with that, you press to write a compelling review.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to get it approved by peers.
Cool. Have you found one yet?
I've found four.
Tell me what they are.
My first one was... Steve Jobs, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was my latest one. My first one was, what's his name again? Common Sense. I read Common Sense.
Thomas Paine?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
I did No Summit Out of Sight.
No Summit Out of Sight?
No Summit.
No Summit Out of Sight. Who's that?
It's by Jordan Romero.
I don't know who that is.
He was the first person to climb all 7 summits.
Wow.
At the age of, I believe, he started at the age of 7 and finished at, I think, 11 or 12. Or 12, wow. or 12, 12 or 13.
That's crazy.
Wait, let me just see.
Okay, so you did Common Sense, and you did No Summit Out of Sight, and you did Steve Jobs, and then what was your fourth one? Do you remember?
Fourth one was... Let me check. I think my fourth one was Steve Jobs.
Okay.
Third one was... Steve Jobs was my third one. Oh, yeah. Born to Run by Christopher.
I love that book.
Yeah.
About the Copper Canyons.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I thought it was a pretty good book, but probably half the time for the first 3/4, I didn't know it was biography. Autobiography. And so
really?
I thought it was multiple different views, so that really confused me.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's interesting.
And I believe I have some micro sleeps during it, mm-hmm. since I was listening to it at night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I missed some parts like saying that this guy, Christopher, was the person doing it. So
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Did it make you want to eat a bunch of chia seeds? He talks about chia seeds a lot.
I don't think I remember that. Is that the super drink?
Well, chia seeds are, they're actually, do you know what a chia pet is? It's like the,
no.
Okay, so, it's really silly, but yeah, so they're it's a superfood, but they're seeds, they're little dried up seeds, but when you put them in water, they get kind of a gelatin coating around them.
I'm pretty sure I think I remember
that. Yeah.
Cool. I actually thought that was a really good book.
Yeah.
So lately, I've been trying to do foot first.
Running?
Yeah.
Midfoot running?
Yeah.
How is it going?
Not well.
It's really hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
I tried it too.
I
thought I was going to be great at it, and I was not.
It started hurting my heel.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Because you're not used to it.
Totally.
So now I'm just walking like that.
Yeah.
And eventually I'm going to try running.
That's cool. That's fun.
But
I actually have to stop. I have so enjoyed talking to you, though. I think your people skills are great. I think you should not worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough. I'm talkative if I want to sometimes.
Yeah.
If I'm in the mood.
Yeah.
Or, like, I feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But then, if I'm not, then I, most of the time, stutter. And just don't know what to do.
I do that too. I don't stutter, but I definitely start to stumble over my words if I'm not in the mood to talk to people. It's okay. It's cool. It was really nice meeting you.